I'm glad he called me young. We're on a good start. If you wouldn't mind opening your Bible to the Gospel of John, please, chapter 4. I'll be reading from verses 27 to 42, and the message title today is Leave Your Water Pot Behind and Trust It's a Blessing to You. So reading from John chapter 4, I'm sure you all know the events, and verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, One soweth and one reapeth. I say unto you, I sent to you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour, other men laboured, and ye are entered into his labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. I trust we have a blessing from the Lord this morning. If you wouldn't mind opening your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, that would be a good starting point. And why don't we commend this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your love. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity now to consider your things, to consider your word, to consider your truths. Please be with us, be guiding us, instructing each of us, Lord, in word and in ear. May you help us to have a spirit of and a heart and a desire to want to hear, apply God's word. We just pray for those who are unwell. Pray for Pastor Cini, Pastor Glenn as well. We thoughts are with them. Pray that you would strengthen and guide as you see fit. We pray for this moment that, Lord, we would take a piece of the Lord Jesus, hear what he has to say, that you would use me simply as a spokesperson, and that I may be able to honour your word. And we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Titled the message this morning, Leave Your Water Pot Behind. And I trust that as we go through the message, you'll at least contemplate the thought as to why I've titled it that. But you know, there are some places in the world that we dare not go. Some places that would probably, we'd say, are beneath us or potentially dangerous, or places that are just too shameful to see. And our text this morning is one such place that the Jews were struggling with, and that was Samaria. They would not go past it. In fact, they considered them to be dogs. They felt that they were only half-castes, they didn't understand the true faith, they weren't from the bloodline of the Messiah, so they were seen as less, or as people of less accord. Our text that we're going into starts at verse 27, and the scenario is that the Lord Jesus has taken a shortcut, or a long cut for a better determination, because he's actually gone out of the way to go through Samaria. And what an interesting place that he chooses to go through, knowing the history of how the Jews feel about these people and that place. But the Lord had something more on his mind to teach his disciples, but also to leave for us as a lesson in the Great Commission. And he must needs go through Samaria. You read that in John chapter 4, verse 4. Why did the Bible say that he needs to go through Samaria? It raises a good question. Why didn't the Jews go to Samaria? There was a lot of reasons for that. But they did not go out of fear of being there or hatred, but rather it was just simply disgust. Now the scenario is that the disciples and the Lord Jesus are in Samaria, and the Lord Jesus is communicating with this Samaritan woman at the well, or at this well. And at that point, the disciples have gone to buy some meat. They're obviously hungry. And while they were in the city buying this meat, the Lord Jesus was communicating with this woman at the well. It says there in John 4:8, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat." And in seeing the Lord speaking with this Samaritan woman on their return, they were absolutely shocked to see the Lord Jesus in this state and with this person. Well and truly astonished, the disciples concluded something in their mind, but they kept in their heart that they did not want to divulge to the Lord. And you read that in verse 27. "And upon this came his disciples," excuse me, "and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou to her?" Two very interesting phrases that were going on in their minds. One, what seekest thou in relation or in reference to the woman? What do you want with the Lord Jesus? And secondly, why talkest thou with her in relation to the Lord's discussion with this woman? So, what seekest thou? Their internal thought that they didn't want to reveal. Well, the rabbinical rule is quoted from Dr. John Lightfoot. He was that a man should not speak to his wife in the street. This is from a Jewish prayer book. And quote, "Do not multiply discourse with a woman with his wife," they say, "much less with his neighbor's wife. Hence, the wise men say, at whatsoever time a man multiplies discourse with a woman, he is the cause of evil to himself and ceases from the words of the law and at last shall go into hell." Very strong words. It goes on to say, very strong words. So according to the Jews, speaking to a woman in public was not something that was done often. In fact, it was a big no-no. The disciples dared not say anything to the Lord Jesus, but they thought it. This is a common practice, isn't it? When we don't understand when something is happening, when, why, Lord? Why is this the case? Why are you allowing this? Lord, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. And we question him. Or we ask the question of him. Job was very good at that. Then their second thought was, why talkest thou with her? Now they go on to question the Lord's motives. Why are you doing that, Lord? Can you remember someone else that did that too? You read about it in Matthew 16, verse 22. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but that those that be of men." You know what? His intentions were very good. And intentions can be very good, but if they're not the will of God, then they're not the will of God. It's too easy to question the Lord, it may seem, at some times. We don't know the answers. We don't understand what he's doing. We don't know where he's taking us. We don't know why he's allowing it to happen. You know, all you need to do is put a person in a trial. and you quickly see the true colours come out. We start to question, we start to ask, we start to be angry. I don't like my circumstances, Lord. If you love me, why are you allowing this to happen? It's very easy to ask questions of God. It's very easy to make statements about God. It's very easy to make conclusions about what we think that he is doing. But his thoughts are much greater than ours. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. You read that in Romans 11:34-36. There was obviously a reason why this portion of scripture was placed in that particular place. It captured something very important about human nature. It captured something very interesting about our sin nature. How that we question God when we don't understand things. How we don't say things potentially when there's something we don't know, or we're too scared to ask the question. I think that portion is a wonderful portion of scripture that elaborates on the Great Commission. And Jesus was now introducing a new concept to his disciples, that we are to reach the world, not just Jerusalem. That can be applied to us, in that we are to reach the world, in that we are to go far and far beyond. It was for the teaching ministry of the Lord unto his disciples to help them see that God loves all people. All people. It's also for our edification and maybe even a challenge. That Jesus went to the worst and the lowliest. And we are to reach those in need and reach those who need help. Whether it's material, whether it's physical help, whether it's money, whatever it may be. It's a challenge to reach the lost in any way that we can. In verse 28, we read about the result of the discussion with Jesus and this woman. It says there in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. This is a very significant point in this interaction. You know, it's so often when you're dialoguing, you're communicating, you're witnessing with someone, you're having this wonderful fellowship, and then all of a sudden you get this phone call, or you get this person unannounced, or this situation comes up that you weren't expecting. And as you're communicating, or as things are going really well with this person, you're sharing or whatever it may be, something out of the ordinary happens that breaks this opportunity. It's happened so often. Now, the devil's got very, very good strategies on how he can mix the mind of a person and take their focus off Christ. He knows what people loves. He knows what things they enjoy. He'll take anything that he can to take the gospel away from someone. You know, you read in Luke chapter 8, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That seed that's planted in the soul of a person, in the heart and mind of an individual, can be easily taken away or mixed up amongst the things of the world. What's the point of that sidetrack? This Samaritan woman understood the message. She heard what the Lord Jesus had to offer. She was focused on understanding it and listening to it. All she wanted to hear was what Jesus had to say. And everything that he said, she knew was true. Because in her heart, her conscience was dying, or it was pricked so strongly. How can a man know so much about me that I've never met? How can a man know so many things that are so personal to me that I've never seen? How can this man know these things and then tell me these truths and expect me to believe them? He must be who he says he is. The woman heard the message of the gospel. She heard how Jesus could free a soul and give them eternal life. What was the woman's response? What was the woman's response? The woman then left her water pot. It is such a beautiful thought. It is such a wonderful analogy of the very thing that Jesus would then go on to talk to them about later, about food and how to do the Father's will is much greater than food. And this analogy of the water pot is very key in this portion of Scripture. She went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" She left her water pot, going to the well to obtain some water, which was crucial for life, essential for her well-being. It was a matter of life and death. Without it, there was no water. There was no means of washing for ceremonial purposes. There was no means of cooking food, no means of drink. It was a tool that accommodated for someone's physical life, but it also played a part in their spiritual life as well. The analogy is quite graphic. Where this woman leaves beside the supply of life, but runs away with God in her heart. She understood the message of the gospel. She understood what had been offered to her. And the imagery there of leaving that water pot behind shows her that that drink of water that was available to her, the one that she had received from Jesus, was far more fulfilling. And in her hastiness, her desire was to go and reach others and tell others about the very thing that she had learnt. And this is a wonderful segue into our next point. Master, eat. Well, the disciples had come back, and then they had, come back with the food, and now they had seen the Lord, and they were urging him quite deliberately and quite strongly, "Lord, you need to eat. It's been a long time. You've been busy. You've been walking. You've been working." I can only imagine what was going through the Lord's mind as he heard his disciples speaking to him about this very concept. "Didn't you see this woman that I just had an interaction with? Didn't you just see the analogy of what just happened then? This woman was coming for water, which is life. And she left with something far greater, which is God. Can't you see that, young men, disciples? Weren't you watching? Aren't you paying attention? Is there something that you've missed?" Didn't you get it that I brought you here for a reason? Don't you see what is happening before your eyes? Can you not see what God is teaching you? I guess that's a challenge, isn't it? Because so often God takes us to places too that we don't understand, and there is a reason for it. The message is clear. The gospel is for all and should be shared to all. If we had to look at our world today and we had to look at, in a snapshot, the last 10 to 15 years, and we think of the atrocities that have happened in our world today, there are people out there who want to hurt people. And they don't care. And they'll do it at any extreme and any extent. They're not concerned about what happens to them. They're not concerned about what happens to you. After hearing these kind of scenarios over and over and over and over in the news, these same type of people doing the same type of thing without any care for life, without any care for people, it is very easy for hatred to sneak into our hearts. It is very easy for us to then start thinking, I hate that person. How could they do that? Then we hear the words, hate the sin, but not the sinner. Hate the sin, but not the sinner. You know, I have a lot of respect for Samir Yacko. Don't often think about him, but when he comes to mind, I think, what a courageous man. What a truly courageous man. To be in a place that is so hostile, a place that is so against the very thing he believes in, a place that where he dwells, that people may despise him for what he believes and what he knows and what he teaches. He left his water pot to preach and teach the gospel in one of the most challenging places on earth. But he left his water pot to preach the gospel. Too often we are dictated by our thoughts and our fears. Too often we think about, is this going to be practical? Is this going to be convenient? Can I do this? Now, just like Jonah, Lord, I will go anywhere that you want me to go except where you're telling me to go. Go to Nineveh. No, I'll go to Spain, which is on the other side of the world, the other side of the spectrum. I'll do anything you say, but the thing that you ask me to do. I have no meat. I have meat to eat that you know not of. This response troubled the disciples. And in thinking about what Jesus was saying, they were probably thinking, did he go to the market? At what point did he go? Did this lady bring him food? I mean, he needs to eat. He's probably hungry. The disciples then thought to one another in verse 33, again, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They weren't sure what was going on. What's happening here? And to kind of take a sidetrack, this kind of takes us to the humanity of Jesus. You know, he was completely God, but fully man. Hard concept to understand, but yet without sin. What's the point of bringing that up? Is that he was willing to put aside some of those physical things that are essential for human beings to live for the sake of the gospel. The gospel comes first. The gospel is the key thing in one's life. In Luke chapter 4, verse 2, he hungered for 40 days and 40 nights. In Matthew chapter 8, he said, don't worry about treasuring up gold or silver here on earth because they don't have any value in heaven. In Philippians chapter 2, he was willing to be like us. And I've probably mentioned this before, but I love playing soccer with my kids. And if I play my best, I'd smash them because I'm really good. No, if I played my best, they wouldn't have a chance. But if I come down to their level and start playing how they play, we have a bit more fun. They don't get as angry with me too. But Jesus did this. He came and condescended himself to man's level. He became like man to communicate with man, to tell man the very message that he wanted to tell them, and to show them through his experiences in this life. In Matthew 28, he was willing to give up his life for you and me. Did he put aside his physical ails? Did he put aside his physical wants and needs? Yes, he did. The gospel comes first. The gospel comes first. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Can you imagine the joy of the Lord when he's talking with this woman and he knows that there's been no one that's gone out to see these Samaritans. He knows there is no one that cares for them. He knows that there are these Pharisees that have their heads full of knowledge of God's truth in this place of Jerusalem, and they don't want to leave there out of pride and arrogance. And here are these poor Samaritans where the fields are white and ready to pick, and no one is going to see them. And Jesus takes interest in one woman with no credibility, no type of life that one would want to copy. She was living a life of sin, but Jesus picked her. Do we see the gospel? Do we see the gospel that Jesus came to the lost? Jesus came to the needy. Jesus came to those who could not help themselves. This is true faith that this woman accepted. It's not just religion. Immediately her faith sprang into action. Her first reaction was to leave the source of the thing that gives me life, my water pot. She left it behind and ran to see other souls to tell them, I have just seen the Messiah. I've seen the King of Kings, and he is offering us eternal life. Sadly, her message wasn't received in the way that she had hoped. They all had to come and see Jesus in order to be convinced that he in fact was that very man. So her credibility wasn't there, but her zeal definitely was. She was a zealous woman, and she understood what Jesus was talking about. This was meat for Jesus. His soul was satisfied in seeing souls being saved. His soul was pleased in fact that he was fulfilling the Father's mission to seek and reach the lost. This made him forget everything about what his body was feeling and brought joy to his soul and his heart. Food is an essential element of our being. Without it, obviously, we die. We need protein, we need nutrients, we need calciums, and many other food essential or other essential food categories for our bodies to function properly, not to mention that of water, which is essential. And the Lord Jesus isn't saying, give this all away, but he's saying, where is your priority in this? What is more important to you, your physical body or glorifying God? Don't want to go out today, it's too cold, I might get sick. Don't want to go out today, it's too hot, I might get dehydrated. Don't want to go to this place and see this person, it's too far, it might cost me something. I don't want to go tonight. This person might talk too much. Never get out of there. Got to go to work tomorrow. We're very good at making excuses. Doing the will of God brings great joy. And I wonder if sitting here in a place that there are so many opportunities for people to serve Jesus Christ, in a place where there are ministries overloading and everywhere, where a person can stamp their feet and be settled and serving God in any capacity with the varying gifts that all of us have, surely there is somewhere we can serve. Surely. Could it be possible that there is someone here today that does not have the joy of God? Could that be possible? In a place where we hear the word of God preached week in and week out, is it possible? Do you have the joy of God? Do you have the peace of God? It's a hard question. Are you doing the will of God? Are you serving? Are you going out to seek and put yourself out for the sake of Christ and for the cause of Jesus Christ? Have you ever led someone to Jesus Christ? Have you ever seen a soul fall on their knees and call upon the name of Jesus Christ? Have you ever been in that situation? I cannot think of a greater experience than seeing a soul coming to Christ. Well, there's a metaphor that Jesus leaves for us, and I won't hold you up too much longer, but it's in verse 35 and 36. Say not, ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The Lord introduces this metaphor to bring clarity to the disciples about what is happening. You know, a farmer's time comes to plant seed. They go in and do all they need to do to their soil. They put the seed in. They then make sure that everything is fine. They leave it then in the hands of the Almighty. There is nothing more that they can do. They wait and wait and wait, and they wait for their harvest to grow. So when the time is right, he will plant his, so they wait. Once this job is finished, there is nothing else that they can do. They can just monitor and make sure that everything is okay. The Lord explicitly tells them that that's not the case with the gospel. We're not waiting for something to grow. The harvest is full. It's white and ready to be picked. The Lord explicitly tells them that this is not the case. The fields are ready. The harvest and souls are waiting for ones to reach them with the gospel. If this gospel that Jesus preached belongs to you, it is the very gospel that we need to preach to others. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are here representing Jesus Christ on this earth and presenting the message to the world. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with presenting the message not to this church, to the world? Do we reach souls outside of our comfort zone? Do we get outside and look for people that need the gospel? Or is it easy just building up the people of the faith? Are we stepping outside in that potentially that door where there may be discomfort, or seeing that neighbour that's, you know, not the person that we'd really like to talk to, or sitting on the train and we're too shy to say anything? Are we propagating the gospel? The fields are ready. The harvest is ready to be picked. The Samaritan woman was a perfect lesson to the disciples of this principle that Jesus was speaking about. He said we need to go out into the world. We need to reach the lost. And you know what? The very place where the fruit showed up, the very place where there was wonderful fruit, was the place that you least expected it. Samaria, Nineveh, places where you'd think not to go because of whatever reason, but there the fruit sprang up. There the souls were ready and waiting for the message of the gospel. Look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. These words were penned 2,000 years ago. How much wider are they today? How many souls are there that are slipping through eternity that haven't heard a message because we've kept quiet? How many souls are slipping through the gaps of hell because we are too proud, or we don't have time, or it is too inconvenient, or we don't want to? A lot of accountability. Christians, we have a job to do here on earth. It is to build up the church of God and to seek the lost. I hope we're not just caught up in the one or the other. We need to be doing both. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians. Many people play a part in a soul coming to Christ. The object lesson for us today is that we need to leave our water pot behind. It's vital that we learn to put God first. What are you holding on to? What's stopping you from serving Christ? What is stopping you from reaching the lost? What thing is not allowing you to fulfill the will of God for your life? What words do you want to hear when you see Jesus face to face? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or would you rather the bowing of a head? Andrew is one of my favorite people in the Bible. I love the example of Andrew. He went and spoke to his brother. And he told him about the Messiah. There's this man called Jesus. He told me everything about knowing God. And I believe him. And I accepted him. Peter, what do you think? It's a good message, Peter. Andrew, I trust you. I believe you. I'm going to go and talk to him or find out more about him. And I'm going to accept him. What happened next? Thousands of souls came to Christ because of one man who was willing to share the gospel with his brother. We don't know what impact we're going to have in this world with the person that we're talking to. We don't know how much or how many souls God is going to rear and raise up because we have the courage to go and spread the gospel. We don't know what God has planned with that person we're communicating with. We just don't know. But if we keep quiet, we will never know. I'll finish with this. Are you willing to leave your water pot behind to follow Christ? Is there something you could be doing in this church? Is there something you could be doing in your home? Is there something you could be doing in your community to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there something in your heart that is stopping you from doing it? Before you go and serve, don't bother serving. Get that thing in the heart right. And serve the Lord Jesus right. He deserves all of us. Every ounce of us. I trust that the Lord may use you to bring glory to him. Amen.